cliffcentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-G-G-Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-G-G-Man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly. Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom.
Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-G-G-Man, the Ad-Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com. Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So fuck that.
G-G-G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello. What's up? It's your man, G-Man, the ad man. And yeah, it's been another week of dope advertising. And we're back. It's been an interesting week. It's been a great week for brand South Africa. You know what I mean? Not the brand South Africa that's like, you know, a job bag is sitting on someone's desk, but like the country itself. You know, like we've done things, guys, in the past couple of days. And you know, it's been interesting to watch the entire thing. You know, it's been interesting to watch how everyone reacts to things. And you know, like someone actually posted a really dope thing, like. And that made me wonder, you know, if someone says, you know, I wonder sometimes when people post ANC and Jacob Zuma, is that like a placeholder for black people? And I was like, boom, you see, this is exactly what's going to happen when people don't say things clearly and when people don't express themselves clearly. But yeah, it's your boy, G-Man the Ad-Man. And we're here. Remember to hit me up on Twitter. It's at Blaxem, it's at BLAXEM on Twitter, or at CliffCentral.com. Or you can also hit me up. Remember, like I said, we've got a WhatsApp number. The WhatsApp number that you can't call. Remember, don't call the WhatsApp number. Nobody's going to pick it up. But send us a message on the WhatsApp number. It's 079-748-2090. Yeah, but it's all been happening. But I mean, yeah, let's talk about that a little bit more. Like, let's talk about hashtag Black Monday. Like, guys, you know, first of all, you know what I want to do? Let's take a step back. I want to introduce you guys to my guests. You know, I did this last week and it worked. You know, I brought my guests in earlier. We can start talking about what happened in the news. And then we'll get into whatever it is that they've been up to. Also, I can put them in a bit of a hot seat. You know, they get to answer some hard questions. They get to pass some hard questions and say no comment. I'm not sure if my people allow me to comment on that. But yeah, so I'm going to tell you guys who I've got in the studio with me today. I'm gonna start with the lady. so you know that we are the cliffcentral.com and G-Man the Admin. Well, kind of, I'd like to say being led by G-Man the Admin. They can reprimand me later. And our media partners of the Lurie's. I mean, how dope is that? We are officially media partners to the Lurie's, and so we're gonna be having a lot of Lurie features out here because it brings me closer to maybe getting a performance at the Lurie's, or maybe being able to hand out one of the awards. You know what I mean? Who knows, guys? I've grand aspirations of awesomeness. And like I said last week, I mean, if they were able to get MC Hammer. I mean, I'm sure I can hand something out, you know. So in the studio with us today, we've got the chairperson of the Lurie's, Ms. Suhana Godan. How are you doing?
Hello.
Are you well?
I'm all good.
I'm good. Have you been getting some mail because Praveen Godan? You know what I mean? Like, if people ever, do people do that?
Because people do that whenever I go anywhere. They go when they see my son and they look at me funny and they go, "Oh, that Gordon." my cousin says that generally when Gordon's trending on Twitter, my terrible posts come up. So. it's kind of embarrassing, but he's way more.
So everything
prolific.
You put on Twitter, people are like, "That's why the finance minister has to go."
Yeah, and her daughter must go. This daughter, not the real daughter.
Oh, dope! Oh, that's cool. But how have you been? How have you been, Suhana? It's been a while. We've had you on the show. Everyone knows that Suhana is a friend of the show. How's it been? How's it been going?
Yeah, it's been good. It feels like no. November already.
Yeah.
It's been a busy year to start off with, a busy year being the chair auntie.
Yeah.
And you know, you must come in and perform on stage. Maybe you can get people to sit in their chairs during the entire show, and especially during Grand Prix announcements.
That's right. That's right. Okay, that's cool, man. Very, very cool to have you in the show. And then also, like, you know, also in the studio as well. Like, man, I'm actually very surprised he was here on time, because not because he has a problem with punctuality, but because, you know, he was at a big gig last night, and that's actually what we're going to be talking about. We're going to talk about him and his brand, and how his brand is kind of collaborated with other brands and whatever. Some of you might know him from out there at some of these dope performances, also just from being an all around cool guy. Mr. Akio Kawahito, what's going on, Akio?
I'm cool. One thing to remember: it's the rappers that are late. The DJs are always on time. So.
Yeah, Akio is here, throwing some little shade at Reason.
Rappers in general.
So now we know that Reason is always late. Nothing wrong, Reason. How's it going, man?
I'm cool, man. I'm great. A little bit tired, but just overall, man, I'm great. Everything is going well.
Yeah.
Life is good right now.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. What, Mick Jennings was last night, him?
It was a great show. We closed it out. We were actually supposed to finish. We had this festival, the Alchemy Music Festival. We're supposed to wrap it up on Saturday, but we did an encore show on a Tuesday, and it went off. So it was a lot of work, and then chilling today, taking the whole team out for lunch and massages, and then work Thursday, Friday, and then Sunday I'm going on vacation. So,
Hey guys, this is the life of DJs and rappers, guys. Lunches, massages, and then holidays. You know what I mean? I mean, it makes you reconsider your life as an art director and as a copywriter. but I mean, you give Akio a call later. I mean, we'll get his details. In case he's hiring, you know, in case he's looking for some more people to come live the fabulous life. Anyway, guys. The reason why I wanted to kind of introduce you guys up front, because I want to get you guys' opinion on stuff like this. You know, like when someone goes out there and says, I'm going to call this thing hashtag Black Monday. Like, wasn't there like a brainstorm when someone says, guys, let's keep going. There has to be another word, something a little less inflammatory.
Manic Monday.
You know what I mean? Let's call it Reflection Monday. You know what I mean? What do you think? Do you think that that's just a result of like an emotional call, or is this like it's just not well thought through? What do you think that is, Swana?
I think it's a bit of both. I think that when things like this happen in our country, everybody's panicking, everybody's upset, and people want to do something.
Yeah.
So and maybe that was just a panic call and not well thought through. So it's a bit of both. But I think it is kind of irresponsible to ignore the entire our history and what's happened in our past.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, the thing that's crazy for me is that. At a time when we should be uniting around a common enemy, the very thing that we need to do is causing the protest, personal protest is causing divisiveness. And that's
insane.
That's what's hard. And I understand that everything in our country is complex and everyone has a view and a standpoint. And I mean, just looking at Facebook, scrolling through this, you want to shut down.
The Facebook streets are tough right now. Akio, what's your viewpoint on stuff like this, man?
You know, I think it's two things. I think that on one hand, there is a legitimate concern in terms of like the direction of the company and the impact of the cabinet changes. I mean, I can say from a personal standpoint, because even right now we're doing a festival with international artists. The one rand change now, and then we still have to make payments outgoing. So, I mean, that's like a 20,000 hit that we take in, and we're not a big company. So,
that's
I can say that, like, there is a legitimate concern in terms of, like, the overall direction of the economy. But at the same time, I think that you have a lot of people that don't even know what junk status is or what the impact is that are complaining just because they're looking for an excuse to jump onto, you know, an existing hatred for Zuma or the ANC.
Yeah.
So I think that it's like on some points it's valid. I think the issue is valid, but maybe the way that it's being handled and the people that are protesting aren't necessarily the right people that are protesting.
And there's so many protests happening all over the place. Like, we have a WhatsApp group in our family, and what we decided, because we're a big family, is we're maybe going to split up and check out all the divide and conquer. But that's the problem. There's not one voice that's speaking against this.
But I mean, I guess that's also like it's indicative of of the status. You know, right now, everyone's just going, all right, guys, no. Someone somewhere is doing something and I want to join whatever it is that's happening out there. So it's interesting. I mean, I just think that from a branding perspective, you know, don't call it Black Monday. You know what I mean? Call it whatever you want. You know,
no doubt.
You know what I mean? Just don't call it Black Monday. You're invoking a whole bunch of like different emotions.
Confusing. It was a bit confusing.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and also like, there are a whole bunch of different connotations now that get attached to that kind of thing. Now it's like, what, the blacks are a problem? You know, black meaning the corruption is a problem. You know what I mean? So I think that, whoever it is, I'm sure good intentions and everything. But yeah, let's let the brainstorm session carry on for about another hour. And spend time, man, you know. Mind maps, scratch things off. Don't be afraid to scratch things off. But yeah, I thought that was crazy. And then, I mean, that kind of rolled into what's now becoming... And all these marches on Friday, you know, and like, you know, everyone's going to be doing that and all that. And I just think that do we think that and I keep going back to the branding thing, you know, because, you know, shows are still about advertising and branding. Do we think that itself has been put across clearly enough for people to know what they're going to do there? Because that's how shit like this goes pear shaped. Somebody's going to say, oh, no, we're going to a peaceful march. Another guy's going to loot a shop. You know what I mean? And now, like because nobody's telling you enough, and then you hear rhetoric like, yeah, we'll have Shambox. Now, I'm not going to go to a match with someone telling me there's going to be Shambox. You know what I mean? So do we think that there's space for someone to actually actively go out there and say, this is the brand of match that we're going on to be a part of?
Yeah, I think so. I think that'll help the ignorance around it. I think that we need to help people's desperation to want to do something. That's something that is remarkable, that everyone wants to do something about it, but people don't know how to channel that energy well enough. So I think a branding exercise, as weird and commercial as that sounds, it's probably the right thing. And you wonder how, you know, in Brazil, how they managed to gain those masses in the Women's March. How did they gain all those people? How did they put them all together and invite them in the right way?
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
You know, I think, and that's for once, shit. Advertising might actually do something really powerful if it's got the right voices behind it.
I'm just saying. Yeah, Akio?
I'm assuming, has this been mobilized on social media? Is that where the mobilization has taken place?
Yeah, and on the news every day, but on the news.
Because I'm wondering, like, if you look at like how the Fees Must Fall, like that was centrally mobilized on social media. We had certain leaders kind of running it, so everybody was kind of focused on the same message. While here, like, I'm not even really sure where to go to get information. I mean, I see the hashtag on Facebook, but is there a group? Like, what's going on with it? You know, I think the message is a bit diluted in terms of, like, I think other people have different agendas in terms of what exactly they're protesting.
And there it is. It's a fragmented message that allows people with different agendas to kind of just filter through and make this thing a mess. But it's fine, guys. We're not gonna spend a lot of time on that because it's also not that kind of show. The political show, I think, is later today or on another day. Today we're gonna talk about a whole bunch of cool things. Yeah, exactly. On Brown Tuesday. I just have one more thing to mention about that's happening in advertising news. There's been Adam Weber, y'all. I found out on Muglives. Shout out to the guys at Muglives. Adam Weber has just been appointed the ECD of MNC Saatchi. Abel, what's going on, Adam Weber? What's up, man? Big shout out to that guy. Hopefully, I mean, he's going to be making some dope changes out there. But also, I mean, it's not that they've been doing badly, but I think that it's an injection of a really cool energy. And for those people who've worked with them, I mean, I've never worked with them, but I've had one or two chats with them. I think it's going to be a really cool thing. But yeah, I mean, we're back talking about advertising. Let's talk about that Pepsi ad, guys. So social media once again is just like kind of blown up because there's this ad by Pepsi, Kylie Jenner. I don't know if you guys ever watched Keeping Up with the Kardashians back in the day. I just watched it because, you know, I had a thing.
Not really.
I heard Kim was a thing. I wasn't really sure, so I watched it and I ended up watching like entire 2 or 3 seasons.
Okay.
Let's not judge me. You know what I mean? I think
I've sat in on a couple episodes. I dated some girls who were into it. So,
Why am I getting judgment from your side there? Why do I feel like I'm getting judgment?
No judgment.
But Kylie and Kendall were like, you know, they were young, you know, but almost like how I remember seeing Miley Cyrus and Taylor Swift, and I was like, these two are going to be a problem later in life. And true to form, they became a problem later in life, and just like Kylie and Kendall. So Kendall's all grown up, y'all, as you might or might not have noticed. So she's in this Pepsi commercial, and it plays out. For those of you who haven't seen it, she's in this photo shoot, and it's happening outside of this town, and there's a big protest happening in this town, and the protest is going past her. I mean, like gratuitous shots of Pepsi being drunk, but that, you know, that's how you know it's a Pepsi ad, right? Mm. And then eventually, she leaves her photo shoot, joins up in this big march. You see? It's a global theme, this march thing. Joins up in this big march, and they walk towards these cops, and in the meantime, she like wipes off her lipstick, and she takes off her blonde wig, and hands this cop a Pepsi, and everyone jumps up in jubilation because, you know, all the issues of the world have been fixed by a can of Pepsi. Yes. But yeah, you guys have been losing your shit on social media about this ad because you guys are going, you know, some of the opinions have been, why does Pepsi reduce that such a big topic to like maybe just a can of Pepsi could change this? I mean, are people being too much about this?
Definitely not. I'm glad people are losing their shit.
Also because Suhana's also those people, guys. Suhana is an activist for the right stuff.
The funniest part of that ad for me is her having to remove her lipstick because you cannot make a serious statement wearing lipstick or blonde wig, you know. Brunettes have a better statement to make. What is that about? But no, it's just, you know what? Someone said to Pepsi, you know, you have to do ads about purpose. And I think they got the wrong brief because I don't know what the purpose of that ad is. It's so contrived. And yeah. It's a fail.
But it obviously comes on the back of all the stuff that's been happening around the world. You know, it's on the back of things like the Black Lives Matter movement in the US and all the bullshit that's been happening and cops being associated with all that bullshit, including even with the Fees Must Fall. Like, I remember during that, like, cops were shooting kids. You know what I mean? So cops have had bad PR for a while. But I mean, is that the way? Is that the way to do it, Akio?
You know, is that a global ad or is that just a local, is that a US ad?
No. The thing with advertising these days is that because of the internet, nothing kind of lives within the boundaries or the confines of one place, you know? So everything belongs to everyone now and we can attack everything equally. Just like when you put a black man in a washing machine and he comes out Chinese, we are coming for you. We are coming for everything.
True. Well, look, man, I grew up in the States, so it's like, I've got a bit of a background. Like, Pepsi here obviously doesn't have the same impact as it does in the States.
Yeah.
I've seen like the marketing over the course of like, you know, a couple decades.
Right.
And it's always been like, I think the motto has been like the choice of the next generation. So it's always been like focused on youth themes, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I think, you know, they're obviously trying to capitalize on this movement across the world. And it depends on how you're looking at it. If you're looking at it from a Black Lives Matter point of view, then that's a very Americocentric, I don't even know if that's a word, perspective to look at it because, you know, there's protests going all over.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at it in a point that it's marginalizing like a greater struggle, then I think that that's a relevant, you know, criticism.
Because I think that's exactly what happens, right? Like, because I think, I mean, having grown up in the States, like you said, there's meaning to that, and there's like a big tradition that comes with, like, you know, history of that. But now that it comes out to the rest of the world, all of us are going, and brands need to be careful of that. You need to kind of understand that now that you're not just talking to the people in your country. You make a statement like that, people outside of your country are going to find out, and your brand is also like around the world now. Yeah. So people are going to find out and going to.
But I also just wonder, like, how nobody like brought it up, you know, like in the meetings. Like, I always thought, but I feel like that even here, like so many things get through ad agencies and like get approved, and I'm just like, where was the one person? Where was the one real dude who was like, yo, just raises their hand? Yeah. It's like, this is tacky, this is corny. Like, what are you guys doing? Like, I think every agency just needs to hire one person just to raise their hand and be like, no, man, this is.
But maybe that person shouldn't be hired, like, and we shouldn't tell clients that we've hired this guy. He'd always seem like he's walking by. You know what I mean? So that nobody gets fired. You should always seem like he's walking by. He's like, guys, you guys want to do what? That is shit, man.
Yeah. Maybe we should plant a mole in those marketing agencies.
Absolutely.
Man, I want, that's like, I'm actually like lobbying for that to be my job. Like, low key, I'm like, hire me to do that because, it's an invaluable thing for an agency to have.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I've just seen, like, especially like within hip hop and like how hip hop has become so key to like, especially like the key demographic of like 18 to 25.
That's right.
So everybody's jumping on board. And I see the stuff that's coming out, and I'm just like, that's so off the mark in terms of appeal, like, you know. But
no, absolutely, and you know what? Maybe that's actually a great point for us to get into what you guys do. So You told me about the alchemy.
Yes.
The alchemy, which was the kind of concert that you guys, the concert series that you guys had from last week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where does that come from? I mean, I already announced it last week that you guys were doing it.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I just didn't have enough of the. And for those people who missed last week's show, you know, so tell us about the alchemy. What's that about?
Well, outside of being a DJ, I'm a events promoter with the crew Cool Out.
Right.
And I've been doing events now here for 8 or 9 years. You know, and it's like any job where it's a creative job. So
Yeah. There's
the paycheck, and then there's like the creative happiness that you get from doing something that like passion projects, you know?
Yeah.
So we've been cool for a while. We've been doing a lot of different things, a lot of different shows, a lot of different work for different corporates. But at the same time, we always had ideas of what we wanted to do. And alchemy was like a concept that I got when I went to South by Southwest about 3 years ago. And it's basically like an urban festival, because like our market isn't like an Opikopi. I mean, I love Opikopi. It's a great festival, but our market isn't there. We've got obviously some crossover where people that follow Cool Out will go to Opikopi camp and stuff like that. But for the most part, 80% of our demographic isn't trying to go camp for 2 days.
Yeah.
So we want
in the dust.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. So we want to create a
never
festival.
Never see me at Opikopi. I mean, I love it, but you never fun, see me there. Yeah. It's in the dust.
But it's not for everybody. So we want to create a festival within the city that people didn't could stay at home. They could and attend different things. We wanted to focus on being downtown Johannesburg. So we called it Alchemy, which is the city of gold. And we wanted to choose a different theme, because it's like we don't have the money to compete to book Lil Wayne, J. Cole, those types of people, but we still want to book some international artists and be creative. So we did our research. And we looked at what part of, you know, with Cool Out in general, we don't look at what's hot and let's try and take a bit of the market share. We never look at it like that. We always look at what's missing, like what needs to be created. And the one thing that I've kind of noticed over the years is like the way DJing popped off, like right around 2011, when all the controllers came out and it became accessible to everybody.
Right.
And then everybody became a DJ. You know what I'm saying?
Everybody became a DJ.
And then right around 3 years ago, it switched to everybody became a producer.
Yes.
And that has to do with like kids now, laptops are accessible to all kids across the board.
Yeah.
Even if you're in the hood, like whatever, you have access to a laptop and you can get basic beat making programs.
And then it's just about the creative.
So now it's accessible to everybody. So you have a lot of people that are talented that in the past may never have been a successful producer because they never would have had access.
But you have
a lot of guys that are rubbish as well. And like making beats isn't difficult. Making good beats is tough. But I've noticed like,
you know how it is.
So I'm getting emails all the time. Like people are emailing me because they want me to take a beat or they want a beat for reason. So I get emails from, you know, kids that are 15 years old in high school in Polokwane that are sending me beats, and everybody's making beats. And it's just like, all right, there's this whole market of beat making and production that's not being tapped into. So what we wanted to do is create a festival based
on
that.
Man.
So that was like the general theme. And we wanted the music to be slightly alternative left field, but like still moving into the mainstream. So we decided to pick artists based on that. So there's this artist named Tom Misch, who I'd been doing my research on for about a year, and I knew he had a big crowd.
Yeah.
But at the same time, none of our normal sponsors had any idea who was. The general public didn't necessarily know who he was.
Yeah.
So we booked this show in November. We couldn't announce it because of obligations to the Jazz Festival's collaboration booking. But during that time, like we did like guerrilla marketing, you know, on the side. I'd put it in my sets, his songs in my sets.
I'd drop
it in mixes. Whenever people were riding in my car, I'd have it in the background.
Yeah.
And people are paying attention because the music's so beautiful. So people are asking, yo, what is this? What is this? So over the course of 3 months, man, we're doing this word of mouth.
That's insane,
marketing.
Man.
And then even the way we marketed Tom Misch itself, like outside of social media, I mean, we sold out the first show. We had to move it to a second venue.
Yeah.
And the way we did it was strictly through social media and also like seeding. So the strategy that we had with this was we knew that the music snobs, like the guys that are respected within, you know, the guys who do you have a friend who always has music and you go to with your hard drive and you're like, yo, hook me up with new beats.
Yeah, for me, that's Cheza. Thanks, Cheese. Yeah. Shout out, Cheese. What's going on, man? Yeah.
So we knew those guys knew Tom Misch, you know? So what we were doing is we created all this hype just through social media and certain people talking about it. Our marketing objective was to create so much hype that when people were talking about, yo, Tom Misch is coming, are you excited about it?
Yeah.
People would be like, Yeah, I'm excited about it. And then as soon as this person would leave, they'd go on Google.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to be out of the loop. You know what I'm saying? We wanted to create this image that if you don't know them, you don't know music, and that's the way it went. So, like, out of all the people that we had, like, we had a lot of people that were fans, but we had a lot of people that were just educated on his music within the last 2 months.
Impressive as fuck.
But by that time, they were huge fans. Like, they were up there, you know. So that was like the direction.
Hey, guys, these guys work harder. Huh? That is crazy shit, man. Because for me, I feel like that's that stuff that makes you go. You know, there's the conventional stuff that we do on the day to day, and then there's another way to get to all this stuff. That's crazy. But now you mentioned something about like sponsors and all that, right? And especially when you're coming out with somebody as like something as niche as what you just spoke about now. Now you're trying to get a sponsor, right? And you come to someone like a Pepsi for lack of a better example. How do you convince somebody that trust me? This stuff, it might not be, you know, it might not be the convention, it might not be Drake, but this stuff is, you know what I mean?
We didn't, man. So the funding that we had, we have a year contract with one sponsor where we get a certain budget for the whole year. So we allocated a bit, but it wasn't much. We allocated a little bit, maybe I would say of the total budget, maybe about 30 or 40%, but we're still talking in the hundreds of thousands of rand.
Right.
So the rest of the money was straight up my savings, borrowing money, all of this stuff, but we believed in it.
Yeah.
We believed in it. And a lot of the sponsors we talked to were like, too left field. We don't know who this guy is. When the show came out.
Now they want to jump on,
Early bird sold in one day.
Yeah.
We invented the prehistoric bird,
which
is before the pre-sold, sold out in 1 hour, you know what I'm saying? So then all of a sudden this hype is going, and now all these sponsors are like, yo, who is this guy? Why are we out of the loop? Why are we out of the loop? So in the end, we had about five sponsors.
Oh, that's dope,
all of them came to us, you know what I'm saying?
Wow.
After the show was on. So if you look at what the flyer looked at when we announced
versus
what the flyer
is
at the end, it's completely different because the people jumped on because they were forced to. And even then we were turning down brands because it was conflicting brands. So it's like we believed that this market existed. That was the bigger thing with this festival is that we believed that this market existed and we were willing to invest our own money to do it. So now that we had Mick Jenkins sold out Thursday, Low End Theory was incredible on Friday.
Yeah.
Tom Misch sold out, had to move it to a bigger venue, and then an encore show for Mick Jenkins
yesterday
on Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's like we've got this leverage going into next year where we've proven that it exists.
Yeah.
And I feel like, and it was flawless. Like it was flawless. The execution, everything, like you couldn't complain about anything. And it's like now we've got this leverage moving into it where all the brands that were involved are wanting to get title sponsorship and everybody that was left outside is wanting in.
Jeez.
So we feel like next year we can name our price, you know?
Yeah.
And the beauty of it again is it's like we have this, we've proven that there's, that we can have the creative freedom to bring these artists. Like just because you don't know who an artist is doesn't mean that the kids don't, because
the
kids got internet now, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, Tom Misch blew up off of SoundCloud. You know what I'm saying?
He
doesn't even have
true.
An actual album out.
Yeah.
So he's 21 years old. He lives with his parents. Like he's only been on the road for 1 year now.
That's insane.
And everything was through the internet.
Yeah. Guys, I mean, if you ever got the sense that Akio is not sure what he's talking about. That's insane. But I mean, Sean, I want to ask you, I mean, do you think that that's a big problem that we're still suffering from in like the branding space where we need something to blow up first for us to actually jump on?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I'm just sitting here listening to this going, genius.
Just,
you know, and you said something that I think is the real problem that we have is clear marketing objective.
That's right.
Something you started also going on gut as well. And that's something we're all scared of because, like we were saying earlier, it's not based on a research point of view or science. So, I mean, I think that's really like it's a PR entry.
Yeah.
Enter into the Lurie. Yeah. Just saying. No, it's remarkable and brave and you know, just trying things in a different way.
Yeah.
And we're going back to like old school marketing.
Absolutely.
101.
Absolutely.
Instead of understanding the way things are changing.
Yeah.
We're just,
that's crazy shit.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've seen you also like, you know, collaborate with some mainstream brands.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that obviously comes off of, I mean, you guys are completely, you know, not all the way completely left field, but like, you know, having in your stable, like rappers like Reason, kind of puts you in contact or in touch with the mainstream. How do you balance that? How do you balance kind of keeping this persona of being, which is obviously also very important to your crowd to kind of deliver on the what people used to call underground back in the day, and also still be like the commercially viable person? Or is that not a choice you have to make anymore?
The best way I can describe, like, underground now is not what underground was 5 years ago. And the way that I can describe that is, like, because of how big hip hop has gotten now, the more people that get into hip hop, I've given a couple talks to some brands about the rise of the subculture.
Right.
And the best way I can describe that is like, the more people that get into hip hop, the more they're going to figure out other things that they like. So for example, if you don't like sushi and you start eating sushi, you start off with like the cucumber roll, yeah, you know, the California roll. Then you're like, you know what, man, let me try some of the raw fish in there. And then, you know, the tuna rolls. Then eventually you might get to the point where you're like, I don't even like the rice. I just like
exactly.
The sashimi. You know, but it all started because you liked.
That's right.
You tried a greater pool of it. And that's how it is with hip hop now, especially with kids. It's so big that in the past we had, let's say you have 100,000 people that are into it. And then 20% are into the subculture and into different things. So that's like only 20,000 people. But now, because there's millions of kids that are into hip hop, these subcultures are no longer 20,000. They're in the hundreds of thousands as well.
That's
the same thing. So they get into hip hop at the beginning. They'll be like, yo, I love Drake. But then eventually then they might be like, oh, but you know what? I really like this instrumental stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, but you know what? You know, there's so many other things that people will get into just by getting into hip hop in the beginning. And what we're trying to do is focus on these subcultures, because there's only a certain amount of stars that you have.
Yeah.
You can't keep overpaying stars to try and fill up the dome. You know what I'm saying?
Boom! Like, boom! <yeah. laughs> That's what's up. No. I agree with that entirely. I agree with that entirely, because especially with branding, brands seem to have flavor of the month, and then every brand has the same person as the flavor of the month.
Sure.
You know, and it's like, guys, are we all crazy? Like when there was like I remember there was a Drake phase. You know, where it felt like every single brand around the world was going at Drake, where it kind of felt like you're going, somebody in the meeting said, guys, we need like a hip hop thing. And there's this one oak. He's fucking killing everything. And that seems like that guy went to every meeting, just like the guy we want to see for second meetings.
Yeah.
That guy went to every meeting. And then everyone just kind of, you know, and in this country, I think, and that happens a lot with football stars, right? And you just kind of go, how is it Dumelang Khune, you know, endorsing Makgeu at the same time he's endorsing, you know what I mean? And like, where there's a big pool of people that could describe that culture, but was also going at one person. So I understand that entirely. I think that's really, really cool. And it's a place where branding needs to actually wake up to those facts.
And I think that, like, if you look at the way hip hop is, and it's like certain things that I've noticed, especially amongst like the younger crowd, is like, hip hop is now moving from being just a black thing to being like across the board with white kids, Indian kids, everything. So I remember we were at the cool out year end at Gold Reef City.
Yeah.
So we were there, and like three times, man, when we were walking around, we saw like young ass white kids, like 16-year-old kids, like rapping along to Nasty C. So you're seeing this like transition where Nasty C is not just appealing to young black kids. He's like white kids listen to his music and they feel
and
they're relating to
it. Yeah.
And that's the same thing that we're doing with Alchemy. And that was like one of the main objectives we had. And that's how we started with Bad Bad Not Good, is we wanted to create an event series that wasn't necessarily genre specific or racially specific. So if you went to all the shows, like you would see the Mick Jenkins show, it was like white kids, Indian kids, colored kids, black kids, all in the same spot, which is something so rare in Johannesburg. Like, Cool Out is a black brand. Like, if you come to our events, it's 99% black, you know what I'm saying? But Alchemy, we wanted to create something completely different that we could mess around a little bit with the creativity and bring something. You know, if you draw the circles, you know, where, and then they connect at one point, we wanted to be in that little thing where the four circles connected.
Yeah.
And that's what we wanted to do. We were like, you know, who's throwing parties here that's bringing everybody together, you know, and nobody. So we're like, let's do that. And if you went to the shows, you would see like it was that's exactly what it was.
That's dope shit. Mm. Maybe that's exactly what the Lurie's Creative Week needs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe we need some kind of collaboration of with something like that. So I think it's time to make something like this happen.
Okay, we're gonna talk after the show.
But
I just wanted to say something that I also think what's remarkable about your success is that what you do know is your audience, and you know it intimately, and you're on the ground with your audience. And I think that's a great thing to have. A lot of the times we work with our brands and they're so removed from the audience. They
absolutely
don't even know who they're talking
sure
to.
Yeah.
So that's really, it's refreshing.
That's crazy. So who makes up the cool out gang of people?
There's five of us. It's myself, Reason, another DJ named P. Cutter. Speedster joined last year.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
that's
then
cool.
We've got a girl named Vanessa as well. She's the only one in the crew that's not an artist as well, but she kind of like holds down like
Oh, dope.
You know, the glue, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, fantastic, man. Hey, guys, yeah, like I said, I mean, the Jim and the Headman, guys, I'll keep delivering the new stuff to you guys. I'm even probably delivering you news that it's going to happen at the Lurie's, but you know, who knows? This is the foundation of this conversation. But yeah, man, I think that's really, really dope. But I mean, speaking of the Lurie's, Suhana, it's going to be, it feels like it needs the injection of conversations like this. You know what I mean? So, like, we need to start having more conversations like this so that, because, I mean, more clients come to Lurie's as well, right?
Yep,
I feel like this is one of those conversations that, you know, you want the clients to hear it from someone else.
Yeah.
You know, because when we say it, it's like, you guys just want to win a Lurie.
Yeah, that's it. We've been badgering the point for too long. Yeah, we need fresh voices.
But now, Tom, you told me, Suhana, that there's some dope new things happening with the Lurie's this year, over and above, you know, this beautiful thing I just facilitated.
Now mine's not going to sound that cool. Yeah. So responsible.
The Lurie's always cool, man. The Lurie's always cool. Yeah. So talk to us.
So this is brand new, fresh off the press.
Yeah.
So basically, about a month ago, Cannes made an announcement that the way they would brief their jurors is to make sure that no work that is prejudiced towards women, that perpetuates any gender bias, will be rewarded or recognized.
Okay, I think that's a big call. That's dope. Yeah.
And it comes off.
It removes a whole bunch of entries.
Yep.
I mean, I've judged before, and it removes a whole bunch of entries. Yeah.
Well, they'll get to find out after when the awards are, because they were probably already entered. But the thing that it comes off a campaign called #. Women Not Objects that was started by a lady named Madonna Badger, and she's a CCO of a company called
Real name?
I know
Madonna, like, Badger.
What an awesome name.
Badger, it is.
Went into advertising. Wow.
Yeah exactly.
But she created this campaign. It was all about revealing how the industry over years, you know, kind of perpetuated the sexism and gender bias. And so Cannes, it was a great move by Cannes.
That's right.
They've all the big award shows have been encouraged to follow suit. And as the Lurie's, we're also, you know, wanting to support this.
Yeah.
But having said that, for us, it's also about recognizing our own context and knowing what we're about. And now more so than ever in our current context, I think that we can't just focus on # women not objects. It's also just talking about the human
about
story.
The realness, yeah.
We're human first.
Yeah.
That's not in just tipping a hat to Andrew Human there.
Yeah.
But we're Andrew Human first. But we're also human beings first.
Right, yes.
No, seriously. So our announcement will be up to the jurors to make sure that we are rewarding and recognizing work that challenges any kind of racial, cultural, or gender stereotypes.
Oh, dope.
Yeah,
and that is really, really dope. And I think that's a huge, huge call on the part of the Lurie's.
Yeah.
I think, it's going to make us all think a little bit more.
Well, this is the thing. It applies a layer of consciousness to things. I mean,
yeah.
I was speaking to someone about it the other day, and they were like, do people actually care about this?
Yeah.
And I think it's
some
important.
Some do, some don't.
Yep.
Yeah. So a friend of mine, Mr. Ian Thomas, shout out Ian Thomas, one of the best writers out there, once said to me, you know, the thing about comedy is that comedy only works when there's a victim. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right? So like, don't you think that this is going to kind of limit the way people think about stuff? Because now if I come up with anything, right, that's comedic in any way, right, there must be a victim of some kind. Now I must worry that this victim, one, these two people are of the same race. Two, you know what I mean? Don't you think that it's going to create bigger checkboxes?
I think it will challenge us as creators, because we fall into patterns of thinking that our own thinking is stereotype.
Boom.
I mean, often I get into in a review and we start off with there's a girl and there's a guy and the guy flirts with the girl.
Yeah.
Like, no one ever thinks to turn that around.
Exactly.
So, yes, it's going to be harder for us, but it doesn't mean it's going to provoke safe work or vanilla work.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, it might make the work even edgy.
Better. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I have to talk about... I'm going to have to talk about the Nando's ad now.
Okay, yes, let's talk about the Nando's ad now, actually. Let's get in there.
So that's an example.
Suhana also, guys, has a... For those of you who don't know, Suhana has a relationship with the Nando's brand. She worked on it for a long, long time. She doesn't anymore, so this was going to come from the heart. Yes, tell us, Suhana.
It's going to come from the heart.
Yes.
And it's no malice to anyone who worked on it, because I know how hard it is to make work and how hard it is to sell work and how the marketating managers
and
might,
like we say
might
here,
water it down.
Like we say here, bad ads happen to good people all the time, so it doesn't doesn't necessarily make you a bad person that you made a bad ad. Yes.
But here was an opportunity to do something that would be really, like, would create a lot of commentary, which would be like a great piece because it spoke about mixed race couples, right? So what do? They create this ad, for those who don't know, that's about a woman talking about a mixed race. And what she was basically doing was making a silly joke around a triathlon. So it completely ignored the issue altogether in a silly way. And here's an example of work that, if it was done in a more provocative, smart way, would have fitted with what the Lurie's is talking about in terms of challenging the stereotype and doing it in a provocative and way.
Could have been the right commentary about something that actually, you should see this thing though. It's like, it's like a proper mess. It's like, also because no one actually calls a triathlon a mixed race.
No.
You know what I mean? So like when they made the joke, I was like, woo-wee.
A lot of people got confused. You watch it a few times to
get to understand what that is.
You know what? Remarkable for having the right start.
But
it somehow, and maybe that was a client input, maybe it got derailed somewhere along the line.
Oh, that's crazy.
Safe.
But I mean, it doesn't that go back to the conversation we're having about what happens in those meetings? You know, isn't there a guy in the
I think Nando's, man, they hit more than they miss.
Yeah.
In terms of like, but the ads, I find
in that immediate print / digital space that's true. You know, like in the TV ads, it's almost like when they have more time to fuck up.
Sure.
You know what I mean? When you have 2 hours to put out a print ad because someone says just fucked up in Parliament, yes, they do well in that space. Yeah. You know, but when you give them 2 days, then they'll show you.
And also because they're so good at it, we're harder on that brand.
Yeah, true.
We've been doing it for years. True. So
yeah. Someone just sent me a tweet up. Mabutu Tech, it says, hire me as the # #HighFootTech guy in agencies. there's a need to push back on Matlakala pick it up concepts. So a lot of people vying for that job. But I think it's because of that. It's because there's no one in the meeting. Or we've created atmospheres in the meetings that don't allow for people to kind of go, wait, guys, have we not thought about how shit that actually is going to be, or how vanilla that's going to be. I mean, haven't you guys found that there are more ads that just start and never end, and they kind of go, but there's no story. The story was just about to start, and then I just saw the brand name. You know, do you think that's what's causing that as well?
Yeah, I think that it's horrible to keep putting the blame on the client's door, but I think that there's something that's happening on their side. Maybe it's just fear. Everybody's jobs are not safe, it's fear. It's looking at their bottom line, and where that happens, the trust kind of just disintegrates. And I think we're not having those honest conversations
anymore. I think so as well.
So we need the FootTech guy, but if we were able to have the conversation, we wouldn't need him.
We wouldn't need that guy, right?
We would be able to just say, come on, you're missing a beat here.
But here's what I think. There's a parallel also between kind of music and what we do as well. Because do you not think that the advent of like the online space, right, has made people kind of more concentrate more on that, because that space people are allowed to feel like they can be riskier, right?
Definitely.
So if I drop an album online, right, I don't have to worry about one, how long my songs are, you know what I mean, and all those things. Like, I don't have to worry about the radio edit, you know what I mean. Whereas with us, for some reason, it feels like people are saying, if I drop my content online, I can create a web series, and then they're willing to become riskier. You know what I mean? Whereas if you're speaking to people on TV, do you think that's a thing?
I do think so, and I think that over the course of the next few years, we're going to see the web series really kind of explode. You know, I mean, I look at, again, like when I'm in the States, and it's like, I've got a friend from Cape Town who's living in LA, and he used to work for E News. I think he was shooting for them, and now he's in LA. He's working on a web series.
Right.
So he's telling me he's working on a YouTube web series, and he's making like 4 times as much as he did working for E. And this is for YouTube, and it's just it kind of shows. Like me, I'm an internet guy. Like, I don't even have at my home, I have a smart TV connected to the internet. I don't have an aerial or DSTV or anything like that. So all my content I get directly from the internet. And even if you look at, like, I heard
even your sport, dude.
Even my sport. So I'm a big basketball guy, boxing, and UFC. So I've got like my websites where I can stream it. Just stream it through the TV.
For the guys who want to watch AmaZulu versus Golden Errors,
you can do it.
Yeah,
there's a website streaming everything, man. There's somebody out there streaming
who wants
everything.
To watch it from somewhere around the world, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
And
yes, TV, we're coming for you, man.
And I saw that YouTube is now, I think it was YouTube, is trying to put out a program in the States where you can choose your channels and watch them live. So now the traditional cable networks are losing their minds because it's going to be, you know, what's the point of having it? If you have like a 50 meg line or anything like that, what's the point of having DSTV if you can stream any channel?
Absolutely.
You know, so I think that it's only a matter of time, and like, you can't stop technology. It's the same way like with the cab drivers protesting Uber. It's
Uber,
like no matter how, you know, it's the same thing even with us as DJs. Like, we're vinyl guys. Like, what are we gonna do, like stand outside of clubs and beat up every DJ that comes in with a controller? You know, it's not gonna stop it. Yeah, you can't stop technology. So, you know, I think that this web series thing is gonna happen, and I think it's great as well, because like, I think for a lot of like film, I mean, we've got, you know, great schools like AFTA that are putting out all these kids that are qualified to do stuff, but at the same time, there's so few forms for them to go out there and actually put out material, because you know, I guess Mzansi Magic has made some efforts like to really help out and like, you know, here and there, but for the most part, I think that we have more like producers and people within film than we have jobs for right now. So I think that this web series will help fill that gap, because a lot of people are going overseas, you know, to work. Like, talented people are going overseas where they can fill these positions.
Yeah, and so that's absolutely right. Because I guess what I was asking as well is, Suana, do you think then that in your meetings, are people? I mean, Donovan is saying in one of those clips, advertising clients aren't brave enough. Do you think that our clients are still not at the place where they can be brave enough to go to that place?
Yeah, I think it's true that they're not brave enough, but I think that we're also quite backward in terms of the way we look at it.
When you say we, do you mean us advertising people or all of us?
Us and marketers. I think all of us. We all go digital.
Yes.
Digital.
Oh, I love that.
So if we start breaking the way we speak about those things, it's all about, it's content. And we have this weird habit of going, we're going to make a TV ad, and we do it because our clients also ask for it in that way. So we're going to have a TV ad and then we're going to put it in digital.
Right.
And so I think that's where we are behind. We're just kind of not breaking the way we think, or we're not just, you know, moving with the ways.
So Bryony Fickling says, the rest of the ad world is already normalizing transparenting. VIX India, I'm not sure what ad that is. And we're still using mixed race as a punchline. You know what I mean? Which is exactly that. You know, like, we're normalizing things. You know, we're making the punchline of things that we should have actually been past now. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And the fact that we're still talking about it means it's still a problem.
That is the center of your ad. You know, there's actually somebody wearing a t-shirt that says, no one is wearing a t-shirt that says mixed race, but it says
triathlon. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, the fact that those are still our punchlines, I think that's kind of a big part of the problem. But this is where being the chairperson of the Lurie's becomes tough, Suana. Because this way you, I guess, you kind of have the platform where you can advocate for people to make sure that they start thinking slightly better, you know? And the stuff that starts, and I mean, I know that you don't have an influence on what wins, but I think that the conversations around what wins needs to be around stuff like this as well, you know? Like, kind of moving people forward, you know, moving us all forward as a people, you know? Like, if we're still making the ads that are, you know, that would have won 10 years ago, today, then it kind of feels like, oh man, are we really moving forward? Have you ever gotten that as a concern from people?
What?
Like the idea that I feel like the same type of work from like before keeps winning.
Yeah, we get that a lot. And then, you know, from being in the judging room and sitting in the audience, sometimes it does feel like that. So when there's a piece of work that just looks at things in a different way that offers a glimmer of hope.
Yeah, then it becomes a Grand Prix.
Yeah, and it becomes a Grand Prix. Because I believe that. I do believe that the fresh work, the brave work will always rise to the top. And you see that all the time. I wanted to just say something around the normalizing of things. Like normalizing the change is what we need to be doing.
That's right. Like,
there's that lady, Chimamanda, the Nigerian writer, and she says, if you do the same thing over and over, it becomes normal. If you see the same thing over and over, it becomes normal.
Yeah.
Now, she's talking in a context of growing up in a sexist environment.
But if you
if you take that same comment and you pass it on to changing behavior and doing the right thing in a normalized way, we're going to start making
absolutely
different work. We're going to start seeing different work.
Sure. But that is so true. That is so true. Yeah. And I mean, we could spend another hour talking just about that. But I mean, you know, I'm sure you've also started getting some entries, right? Have entries open already?
We've had our early bird. I'm going to tell Andrew about prehistoric bird.
I'm trying to make that a thing. I'm trying to make it a thing. Prehistoric bird.
So awesome.
Yeah.
We're accepting entries from December.
Yeah. For the pterodactyl?
Yeah. That's what we had. We had the pterodactyl up there. Yeah.
So, yeah, we are now, we've had our first batch of entries, and now I think we've got another.
Are they still
you still have a chance to enter the Lurie's.
Are there still rhino ass in there?
Rhino ass.
Yeah, anyway.
You're always going to find a name.
Is Mbala Noise nominated for anything? Because they're going to clean house. What would you think? Mbala Noise just came and cleaned house at the Lurie's. I'm making a bold prediction.
Okay, guys. Yeah. Mbala Noise, look out for Mbala Noise at the Lurie's. Even brands that don't exist yet are going to win at the Lurie's this year.
Everybody. Yeah.
Nasty C is winning a Lurie.
Akio's coming.
Yeah, exactly. Guys, but you won't believe, guys. It's like the hour is actually almost done. You won't believe how quickly the time flies.
That was cool.
In this place, man. But thanks so much, guys, for coming to hang out with me, man. It's been really, really cool.
Thanks for hosting.
Yeah, man. I think you guys are both. One of you guys is going on holiday. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And I'm 2 hours away from a massage.
Yeah, you know what I mean? While the other's got a whole lot of work. while the other's got a whole bunch of work ahead of them. So I think, guys, thanks so much for coming to hang out. Mm. Akio, where can people hit you up? You know, obviously not now when you come back from holidays. Where can people hit you up? Where can people get more information about Cool Art and everything?
Man, best way is social media.
Yeah.
I'm pretty active on that. Man, the thing is, like, my social media is my name, and it's like, right. Well, it's not weird to me because I'm Japanese, but to everybody else, it's kind of weird. So it's Akio _ Kawahito. It's AKIO _ KAWAHITO. It's Japanese, man. We phonetic. It it doesn't make sense. Like, you never see something and it's pronounced something else.
Yeah.
But that's Instagram. Twitter, Facebook, everything over there. And,
okay.
And I'm just going to give a plug for myself. If you pick up the latest copy of GQ, you will see my name on the cover, and I got a full page spread over there.
That's what's up. That's what's up, guys. Yeah. Check out Mr. Kawahito. Yeah. All up in the GQ, son.
No doubt.
Okay. No, that's good. That's good. And Suhana, if people still want more information, I don't know what more information people could want about the Lurie's. But yeah, I mean, there are new people in the ad game. If people want information about the Lurie's, if people want to hit you up about anything that they're unsure about, where can they get hello you?
So my Twitter handle is so inventive. It's at Suhana Gordon.
Boom, boom. I never would expect that. Yeah.
And otherwise, it's the Lurie's website, lurie's.co.za. It's simple.
Cool, fantastic, guys. That's another dope show we had. G Man, the Ad Man, and I think, you know, if there's anything I picked up from today's show, you know, it's just the kind of the power that comes just going back to doing things that it's more like basically, you know, just think about what people want and let's go out and make sure that people. And a lot of time, you also don't realize people don't actually know what they want until you give it to them. You know what I mean? So I think that there's something really cool about that, and I think we should think about that with the next brief that you get as well, with the next kind of interaction that you have with your client. You know, there's the easy solutions, well, the conventional solutions exist. Those we always have. Things like squeeze bags, we'll always be able to do those for you. But I think that in order for us to start moving forward and not normalizing the normal, or going forward and changing what's going to be normal, it's for us to have those conversations. But thanks to my two guests for today's show. Thank you for listening out. Remember, take care of each other. Take care of those briefs. And take care of yourself. And like I say every day, every week, if the show is on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. G-Man the Ad Man. Boom!
Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the Asian. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man the Ad Man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
Cliffcentral.com.